Welcome to On The Ground, a revamped podcast brought to you by the team at Matchroom Boxing. It's one take, we're bringing you closer to the action, immersing you in the fight week activity, this time bringing you that bit closer to the action in the build-up to Lee Wood versus Josh Warrington. Well, it's around about bang on 6 p.m. here, a sunny early evening in Sheffield, the great steel city, the fighting city of Sheffield. We're here at the public workout today in Sheffield City Hall. The atmosphere is building nicely. We've got the fighters on hand. We've got the media arriving as well as we eagerly await the arrival of the main event. Lee Wood and Josh Warrington both themselves brought some huge support down. We are going to go a little bit rogue, as I said, float around today and grab just about everyone that we can. Our first guest, apologies, I'm bumping into people, that's not a great start, but our first guest is Terry Harper. Terry, how are you?
I'm good, I'm very good, thank you.
We had a great catch up at the media day today. You seem in great spirits, obviously, after the disappointment with Cecilia being forced out of the fight through illness in Dublin on fight day. How good does it feel to be back now and looking forward to facing her?
Yeah, it's great, and obviously in front of my home crowd, and there's another belt on the line, so it's same outcome, but there's more on the line, and it's exciting.
For you, you've sold over 800 tickets. Now, we've always spoke about, Terry, off camera, that your growth in self-belief. I know you're not a massive fan of doing interviews. So how on earth do you go from not liking doing interviews to walking out to Jerry Cinnamon in front of 800 of your friends, families and supporters? How do you manage to keep such a level head the way you do?
I think it's just because it's something I love. Obviously, the interviews, you're a bit on the spot, and I always worry about saying something wrong or anything like that, but I think boxing, it's the way I can express myself, and it's something that I've loved from being very young, and it's just the fact that I love it.
I spoke to Cecilia earlier. As you can imagine, she's saying, similar to what you said, that the extra time has helped her feel more prepared coming into this fight. She believes she's a better boxer than you. She believes you can come back when she beats you. Why do you like that type of energy coming from your opponent in fight week?
Because I don't want someone who's just going to lay down in front of me. I want the best version of Cecilia, so it's credible. And we've prepared for the best version of Cecilia, and I believe that version of her was good 5 years ago. So looking at her, she looks in much better shape, and obviously making weight a lot better and more comfortable and stuff. So it's just got all the ingredients for a great fight on Saturday night now.
She says that, like I say, she'll help you to come back after she beats you. She believes that the experience will pay dividends in this fight. I guess on the flip side of experience, you have youth, you have freshness. I know you're feeling really strong at 154 pounds. In what way, Terry, does that youth and freshness go into your favour, and how does that contribute to your prediction of how you believe you win?
For me, I'm better than Cecilia on all, in every possible way. I believe I'm quicker on my feet, I throw combinations and stuff, and like you said, I've got the youth on my side. The only thing she's got over me is age and experience, and that's it. And I'm going to use my youth, and I'm going to use my youth to my full ability, and advantage on Saturday.
And add another belt to the collection.
Yeah.
How exciting is that to become a unified world champion?
It's very exciting. I think that's what we're in this game for, to unify and hopefully one day become undisputed.
Well, Terry Harper, enjoy your media workout. You're going to be going through the motions very shortly, so we'll let you go. Thanks so much for your time. We're going to continue on our rogue walk around the City Hall here. As we just walk through the media pen, things are getting a little bit lively. Matty Lawless, Matchroom's new head of communications, and we have got Nico Lavars here. Nico, Mansfield's finest, nice local one for you tonight. How does it feel to be back on the big stage once again?
Buzzing, you know, like I said, nice and local, 40 minutes for me. Got a few coaches coming up from the football on Saturday to make it in time, so blessed, you know, big undercard. On Lee's again, like I was when I made my debut, and it's a good card, you know, it's a good card to be on. Stacked all the way through with good fights, so soaking it all in and enjoying every minute of it.
You're in a great gym, a gym that's thriving at the moment. Obviously, Dalton Smith, Sonny Edwards, Junaid Boston, the list goes on. For you as a young fighter, I know you're going to be a bit biased, but why, alongside Grant Smith as well, who's the captain of the ship, why is this the perfect environment for you, Nico, to reach your full potential right now?
It's the depth of the team and different stages of our career, because like me and Junaid are just starting out, And then you've got the senior members in terms of experience, like Sonny, Florian. You know, you've got Dalton in the mix now, picking up titles. And, like, there's always something to learn, either in boxing or how to handle yourself outside the gym. You know, we've been away to Tenerife 2 weeks on a training camp, picking things up, learning off each other. I've been sparring Sonny for 10 rounds in the heat. All things you can pick up off everyone, and I think that really helps us all bounce off each other and improve. And you've seen that in the results.
Just a word on Sonny before we come to your fight on Saturday night. Massive fight, December 16th. I feel like I've seen Sonny Edwards every day for the last 2 weeks, and to be honest with you, I have on this media tour. This fight with Bam's an exciting one. From what you see in the gym, though, Nico, why is this a fight you believe Sonny Edwards will not only go to America but win as well?
Look, people are always going to say I'm biased because I'm from his gym, but I'm looking at it. I've been Sonny's sparring partner now for 3 or 4 fights. I've seen him in camp, out of camp, how he's been training, how he's been living the life, and he's ready to fight next week. You know, sharp as anything in sparring, fit, pretty much near weight already, and he's got some at DAF like 10, 11 weeks left, and that's just showing you how seriously he's taking it.
Bam believes he wins this fight inside the distance. From your sparring experience, Sonny says he'll be the first man to put him down, amateur or pro. How hard is he to catch clean?
Very hard to catch clean, and the harder you try, the more openings you leave. And I think if Bam goes in there trying to get him out of there, that can play into Sonny's hands. But then at the same time, Sonny's an unbelievable boxer, so if Bam tries to outbox him, it's 12 rounds where Sonny can pick him apart. But Bam is an unbelievable talent as well, and I think that's why everybody's so interested in it, because you've got two world champions, two really good world champions. You know, the class there is unbelievable, and I think we'll see the better man is in December.
Now, I don't want to push you off the fence too much, but I'm going to do it.
On the fence.
Okay, here we go then. Main event.
Yeah, no splinters in my bum.
Main event, Lee Wood, Josh Warrington. What happens, Nico Leibold?
Lee Wood gets him out there, 6-8.
Okay. Wow. Do you know what? It's one of them fights, though. The opinions are swaying. Every person you speak to, one thinks Josh, one thinks Lee. Is that what makes this so exciting, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's everything. It's the clash of the fans and how passionate they are and the atmosphere they bring. The two sound lads. I mean, you take away the boxing, it is people. They're both mint. Like, they've done it the hard way. They're just... how you see is what you get with them. There's no charade, there's no act. Because they're both genuine, you can get behind either one of them. And I'll be biased again, because I'm friends with Lee. And I remember watching boxing leisure centres. So the last few years, to see him do what he's done is amazing. You know, he's set up his career, his life, his family. It's amazing. And it's an inspiration. But so is Josh. And I think that's why everybody's so intrigued. It's not necessarily the fight. It's the two people in the fight. And it's just a shame that someone's got to win and someone's got to lose.
Yeah, I totally agree. Two great fighters, two great men as well behind the scenes. Final one. You're in action, Nico, on or before the bell segment of the show. Saturday night live on DAZN. What can boxing fans who are tuning in expect to see from you? And what do you hope to deliver yourself in the ring as well?
Another exciting performance. You know, I'm not taking Ryan Walker for granted whatsoever. He's a good lad. And it's another step up for me in opposition and in rounds. But I've trained hard and I've done everything I need to do to win and get the job done in style.
Nico, great stuff. Great to catch up. Thanks so much for your time. Nico Leibold targeting titles next year. He says he's got his eye on the English belt, the British title as well. Just 5 fights in to his professional journey, this professional fight, number 6 coming up. And look who we have here. I don't know who to turn this for a public workout. As I said, an early evening here in Sheffield. We got stars left, right and centre. Sonny Edwards is trying to take the mic off me. We're getting rid of him. Just for now, before we grab him. Before we grab him. We'll be back to Sonny shortly. But Sheffield's man at the moment right now is British and Commonwealth champion Dalton Smith. Dalton, we're so used to coming to this city now with yourself, your headlining bills. I imagine being here, the knuckles are a little bit itchy, aren't they?
Yeah, every time there's a fight week, especially in my hometown, you know, I've got itchy knuckles, and you know, I want to be here on my own fight week, but you know, it's nice to enjoy the fight game from the other side. You know, I get to sit and enjoy fight week, enjoy the public workouts, you know, spectating. So, you know, another big card from Matchroom, you know, and it's going to be a cracker of a show and one I'm looking forward to.
I know earlier this year, after the fight with Sam Maxwell, which was an amazing night in Sheffield Arena, when you added that Commonwealth title to your British title collection, you had a couple of cuts on both eyes. You certainly went through the wars in that one to get the job done, which you did emphatically. But how are you healing up now, and when can fight fans expect to see you back in the ring?
You know, maybe after Christmas. You know, the eyes are healing well. You know, as you can see, I'm in shape. I'm ready to go in the next couple of weeks. You know, I always stay fit. So, you know, it's just about improving on areas I wouldn't be able to if I was in camp. You know, take advantage of the time off. And believe me, after Christmas, I'm coming back even better. And there's some big fights there for me.
I believe, you know, you said after the fight with Sam that you wanted to fight for the European title next. It looks like that's tied up now. Adam Azeem is going to be fighting for that, and that's someone you've got your eyes on as well. If that can't be the next option, then what's next for you, Dahl? What direction do you want to move in now?
You know, there's a lot of options for me out there, but, you know, obviously we wanted the European, but I'm not out till after Christmas, so, you know, that's how boxing works. And, you know, even though we put the offer in for Azeem, we didn't hear anything back from that, so, you know, they're the fights I'm chasing. And, you know, if Azim's got the European next year, you know, that's the man I want. You know, I want the European title.
In terms of not hearing back, obviously there's a lot of politics in boxing. That's above your head as well. You've got your management team and Eddie, you deal with that sort of stuff. Do you think they thought it was a bit of a bluff? You know, we've seen comments from them. Why do you believe that perhaps that didn't make any movement, that fight talk?
You know, obviously they're going to be saying, oh, cold bluff. It's an easy answer for not getting back, but, you know, I put it out there. You know, I'm not one for, you know, cheap talk, talking crap. You know, we put an offer in. You know, we didn't mention it. I just said to Matchroom, you know, put the offer in for the fight. You know, a lot of people are talking about it, and, you know, there's no harm in making the fight now and then, you know, do it at the higher level also.
And we're going to see you, Dalton Smith. I don't know if this is an exclusive. You're going to be part of the commentary team this weekend on Before the Bell. Are you a bit nervous? You done your research?
Do you know what? We'll see on the night. I'm pretty chill now, but, you know, there might be a few butterflies on the night. But, you know, like I say, it's something different fight week. You know, I'm not used to it, and, you know, I'm going to look forward to it and enjoy the boxing, spectating.
We're getting this from everyone, Dalton, and I know you don't want to make any enemies in this sport. Your stable mate, Nico Livars, was very adamant that he believes Lee Wood wins this fight inside the distance. We're waiting here. The atmosphere's building at the public workout this early evening. How do you see the main event going?
For me, it is a real 50-50 fight. You know, you look at... People always say you're only as good as your last fight, and, you know, they both had some good last few fights, so, you know, for me, it's just who's got more left in the tank. You know, two great lads in the sport of boxing, and, you know, they're going to put a great fight on for the fight fans. Honestly, I can't split them, you know, and I'd love to say, but, you know, may the best man win, and, you know, I'm looking forward to a great fight.
Dalton Smith, always an absolute pleasure to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks so much for your time. We will look forward to hearing you on the airwaves this Saturday night, of course, live on DAZN, so we'll very much look forward to that one. That's our MC Ben just bringing Hopi Price out of the ring as he prepares Saturday night. Hopi Price against Conor Coghill. Two unbeaten fighters going head-to-head in a final eliminator for the British title. That's an intriguing one. We're looking forward to seeing Hopi Price in action. We were trying to grab a word with Kieran Conway there, but as his nickname suggests, he's clearly too class to do this interview, as he's just said no because he's going on the live stream. Can we grab a word of him quickly? Yes, we can. Kieran Conway, great to see you. From what I've noticed in this training camp, head switched on. You've locked yourself away. You seem in a great place. And I think it's fair to say, you know, when you were in Vegas, you boxed on big cards, Canelo undercards against Amo Williams. I think you were enjoying it.
Yeah.
But what's different about your focus this time?
I can't pinpoint what's different. I'm just locked in, like you said. My head's down. I'm switched on. And I've just been ready to go for a long time. It's been a little while since I last got in the ring, and now I just want to get going.
Lada Sadofia, good fighter. In terms of the challenge that's in front of you, what are you prepared to go through, Kieran, to make sure you get the W on Saturday night?
I'm prepared to go through anything. Like I said earlier, I'll fight to the death for this one.
Well, here is Lada Sadofia. I'm sure you can hear in the background, he's just getting announced into the ring here. In terms of the shape, in terms of watching him go through the motions today, is this something you really keep an eye on in fight week?
Not really. I see he keeps posting a lot of topless pictures, but muscles don't win fights.
Is that not your style?
No.
Right. What about
I don't take my top off.
No, okay. Okay, Kieran, we're going to let you go because I know you're just getting ready to get in the ring, but thanks so much for your time. That's Kieran Conway and Lana Sadofia. That's a really intriguing fight, that one. WBA ranking belt on the line as well. That one also a final eliminator for the British title, and now we have a very special man in the house. It's always a pleasure to catch up with Mr. Jordan Gill, the Frill. Jordan, strangely enough, recently, I don't actually know how I got onto it, but the reason I remember it is because it was the first ever post-fight interview I did, was with yourself. It was the sun was coming down in the Matchroom Garden. You just beat Rhys Bellotti, raised the curtain on Fight Camp. A lot's happened since then. But quickly, just on that whole occasion, that was such a surreal experience. Hopefully we never have to go back to behind closed doors boxing, but do you remember how strange, surreal and special that night was for you?
Yeah, it was very special. It was surreal. I was the first televised fight on Sky Sports since the end of the pandemic. And for me, you know, that's a big achievement. And to get the win over a quality fighter like Rhys Bellotti, who's done well since that fight, you know, it was fantastic. And it was a great setting to be involved with. And the house looked amazing. The sun was setting. I got a bit of sun in my eyes because it was around that time. But no, I really enjoyed that fight.
In terms of your journey at the moment, Jordan, still 29? I believe it. In terms of where we're at now, obviously, ups and downs, I think it's fair to say. Now, the fight with Karen McWorthy, I don't think I've ever celebrated a win like that from backstage. I broke my headphones, my laptop went flying, jumping up, forgetting they were plugged in when you knocked him out in the fashion you did. Obviously, the disappointment in the Kiko Martinez fight. What's the motivation right now, and where are you at in your headspace in terms of the boxes that you still want to tick, particularly moving into next year now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky situation at the moment because I'm coming off a loss, I'm moving up a weight, I've recently changed trainers, and you know, it's all a lot of change. So it's an exciting time, but also a time where you're wondering what's going to happen. I've been sort of sitting on the sidelines all year, waiting for a fight. Nothing has really presented itself. And I think we're at the point now where, like you say, I'm 29, I'm still young, but you know, I'm not getting any younger, so I need to take these big fights. So whatever comes to me, I'm going to take, and I'm confident at 130 pounds that I'll beat anyone.
Just talk to me about the trainer situation. Obviously, you spent many years with Dave Caldwell, had a lot of success together as well. I've seen you since when we come in to do some documentary filming with Mr. Lee Wood, who I'm going to ask you about shortly, your old mate Lee Wood. You've been training with Ben Davison. What was the thought process behind the reshuffle, and how have you found your time in Essex so far with Ben?
Yeah, it's been great. I think it was a welcome change. I had great success with Dave Caldwell in Rotherham. We had a very good relationship, and we won some big titles together, Commonwealth, WBA International, European titles. And you know, I can't thank him for more than for what he's done for me. But you know, I had a few personal issues at home. I was spent at that point. I'd spent 10 years away from my house, and at home, away from my wife, away from my family, up in Sheffield. And you know, I wanted to be a bit close home. It's been a refreshing change for me now. Training at Ben's, I can drive to and from the gym every day. I'm in my home comforts. I've got my wife, got my family there. You know, they say a happy fighter is a dangerous fighter. I'm enjoying being in the gym with my friend Lee. I'm enjoying the crack with the lads in the gym. I'm enjoying the approach to boxing that Ben Davison has. And I'm learning a lot. So I'm a dangerous fighter at the moment, and I'm at 29 years old. I'm coming up a loss. I'm going up a weight, and I'm ready for anyone. I've got nothing to lose at all.
Great stuff. Can't wait to see you back in the ring. Let's just grab one final word with Mr. Jordan Gill, your friend Lee Wood. You two are really good pals, aren't you? I believe you used to flat share as well. How long does your relationship go back?
I mean, I remember staying with Lee the week of his professional debut. I think he was 23 years old, which is about 12 years ago now. We stayed in a little flat. It was so damp that we both woke up with wet backs. You know, you could kick a hole in the wall. It was that damp. And, you know, we had a lot of hard times together. We managed to get a flat with a guy called Leo Delanger. And us three lived together for about 6 years. And obviously, he went down to Harlow. So, you know, we've kept in contact. We've always seen each other all the time. Recently been in the gym with him again. And yeah, he's looking immense. I'm really looking forward to the fight.
And in terms of this fight, so far, I think Lee's up on the prediction front. I know you're going to be biased, but bias aside, we know Josh Warrington's a terrific fighter. How do you see your friend Lee retaining his world title this weekend?
I'm so biased, it's unbelievable. I think that is a very tough fight. I think stylistically it's a tough fight for Lee. I think that Warrington poses very difficult questions to Lee. I feel like Lee has got to get his respect early and, you know, really slow down Warrington's attacks and make Warrington work in between his attacks. And, you know, Lee's been on the ball, he's been working hard, he's in tremendous shape, he's been sparring well, and I'm hoping that he can get the job done. And my prediction would be Lee Wood by knockout, walking Josh Warrington onto a big shot in the eighth round.
One of the things we love about these big fights is that all the questions will be answered, and we can't wait to talk about it all after the fight live, of course, this Saturday on DAZN. Jordan Gill, thanks so much for your time. Up at Super Featherweight now. We look forward to some fight news very, very soon. One man who's also been turning heads is Hopi Price. Hopi, big fight for you this weekend. I guess when you look at the level you're at now, every fight you're in is a step up. This fight, Conor Coghill, good domestic opponent, 14-0. What do you know about him, and why at the minute is this the right fight for you?
One main answer is it's the eliminator for the British title, so that's what's been ordered, so that's what fight I've got to take. As far as a step-up's concerned, I don't believe it is really. Without me sounding too brash, too confident. At the end of the day, he's 14-0, but that's for people who just look at numbers. They don't actually know the boxing. If you look two fights ago, I boxed someone who was European champion and boxed for a WBC world title, so is he less of a threat than Conor Coghill, or is he more experienced, one more? So believe to me, it's not really a step up. You know, I've boxed good opposition all the way through. I've boxed undefeated fighters before. He's, like you say, he's a good domestic level fighter. He's unbeaten. He's going to come to give it his all, come to win, but I'll deal with him in good fashion on Saturday night.
He's saying the right things, which I think you'll probably like. You know, he's saying that you haven't lost to a southpaw since the amateurs, and you know the last fight you lost to was a southpaw, and he's taking confidence from that.
Yeah.
But for you, Hopi, it just strikes me as you've never won. I've known you for a few years now. You're never arrogant.
No.
Just supremely confident in your ability. Whatever he says, whatever he does in the ring, you feel there's no way he can beat you on Saturday night?
No way. You know, listen, you can say what you want. It's good that everyone can talk, you know, but you've got to at least make some sort of valid points when you're talking, you know, or do something to back it up, you know. He's had to look back to when I was about 16 to find me last time I got beat. Listen, I'm a professional now. I've never been beat, the same as himself. I'm not going to go to his amateur career and start picking out losses, because I can assure you he's had a lot more than me. So I won every single accolade you can win as an amateur. I don't need to look that far back, you know. I just know, like, no matter what, he could have beat everyone. He could have knocked out all 14 of his opponents. They haven't been me, so he's got not a chance in the world of beating me on Saturday night.
In terms of securing a shot at the British title, I think every fighter, when they turn over, especially a British fighter, of course, they look at that Lord Lonsdale belt.
Yeah.
Not just because it's a beautiful gold belt as well and they want to win it, but it always seems every fighter you talk to, that's one that they remember very fondly.
Yeah.
What would it mean to you to fight for that? And I guess, has that always been part of your dream and ambition since you've turned professional?
Yeah, it's been a lot, you know. It's a very prestigious belt. From our community, there's not many fighters to win it, you know. There's a few as of, obviously. Tyson Fury's won it. Billy Joe Saunders. Felix Cash. There's a few people that has won that British title, you know. One of my mates, old grandfathers, Johnny Frank and me, won it years ago. So I'd like to add my name to all them men and win it. And I've always said, like, I'd like to give it to a present for my dad. So I believe, yeah, I'm going to give it me all to win that belt. But that's not the end goal for me. I want to go on to be a world champion and win as many belts as possible. And that's one belt I want to pick up on the way. As far as, like you say, for other people, that's their dream. They are going to give it their all. But just because it's not your end goal doesn't mean that you're not going to try as hard as much as them to win it. You are, you know what I mean?
No doubt you've got so much to achieve, Hopi, and we're all excited to follow your journey. We've been doing predictions for the main event. As you can imagine, we're counting down the minutes, really, until Lee Wood and Josh Warrington will get in the ring here at City Hall to do their public workout. You're a Leeds man.
Of course.
You need to level
Lee's
this
from
up. You need
Lee's
to.
From
you need to level this up a bit, because Lee Wood's running away with it at the minute. How excited are you for this main event, and how do you see it going?
Very excited. You know, it's always good to watch people who's world champions at the top in your division. So it's exciting for me to watch that. Like you say, I know both of them really, really well. Like you said, Josh Warrington, I've looked up to him. He's been a fellow Leeds, paved the way for all of us. Lee Wood, you know, I've also done rounds of sparring when I was coming through. Known him, he's always been very supportive of me. It's a real, real good fight. I can make a point for both men to win this fight. I can see why the public side with Lee Wood. I can see why other people side with Warrington. You know, I think obviously off past success, Lee Wood, that's why everyone's saying he's running away with it, you know. But Warrington, you know, he's been in them big fights. He's tough. And I think a lot of people don't give him credit for the wins and the men he actually has beat. You look at someone like Kiko Martinez, a tough man, and look what he done with him, you know.
Yeah,
and
so tough.
He out-toughed him, you know, so he's going to be coming to give it his all, isn't he? Vice versa for Lee Wood, obviously. I think with what happened with the Lara situation, that's why everyone's favouring towards Lee Wood. But listen, it's a domestic dust-up, innit? You know, both fellas are going to give it their all, and I'm sure both of them's not going to want to lose to each other.
So you win, shower, get out and enjoy the fight from ringside. Is that the ideal plan?
Yeah. Win in spectacular fashion, quick shower, come out, sing marching all together, watch the two lads have it out.
Happy days. Hopi Price, great to catch up with you, my friend. Thank you so much for your time. That's Hopi Price versus Conor Coghill, part of the Live DAZN show. That one, a final eliminator for the British Featherweight Championship. We make our way back across the city hall here, back through the media pen, as we have a look for a man to grab. And who better than this man right here? Sean O'Hagan, father, trainer of Lee Wood. This is the On The Ground Matchroom podcast. We're doing it F1 style.
Father, trainer of
Josh Warrington. I mean, good thing it's live.
I mean, listen, I might be.
Of Josh Warrington.
I've had a few nights out with nothing.
Do you know what? It's because I just saw someone from Lee Wood's team across the room and I've just had a bit of a blunder there. But Sean, great to see you. Your boy, Josh, what do you make of the people who are saying his best days are behind him, he's on the slide, he's not going to beat Lee Wood on Saturday night? You see him, you know him better than anyone. How do you take to those comments?
What I do is I tell them, instead of coming out with absolute rubbish and following suit like everybody does, sit down, watch the Kiko Martinez fight, then sit down and watch the Lopez fight, and then come back with an opinion. Because, you know, the thing is, I don't think these people coming out of these comments really know boxing. And I really don't. We started off slow against Luis Alberto Lopez. A little bit hesitant because we're still recovering from broken jaw effects. We started off slow, but look how we finished that fight. You've got to look how we finished it. You've got to look how we finished against Martinez. I can't see this going any other way. I don't think Lee Wood sees the end bell. I really don't.
Have you noticed, Sean, he's really got... I've noticed it. Just seems to have a real edge to him in this camp and certainly in this fight week. He's really got the bit between his teeth. Have you noticed that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've noticed this all since this fight was announced. I think the Lopez fight... I keep going back to the Lopez fight. When you've had an injury like that, you know, a broken jaw, you want to protect it. You're a little bit reluctant to get whacked on it full pelt, but, you know... That's been and that's gone. Them demons have been dealt with. And now this is like turning the clock back to Lee Selby. It's like turning the clock back to... should he be in here?
It's all gonna, but the likes of Frampton and the big nights.
That's exactly how he's performing at this stage. It's like turning the clock back to Lee Selby, Cal Frampton.
As a trainer, Lee Wood, what do you make of the run he's been on? People calling him the Cinderella Man. I know you've got another Cinderella Man in the gym, Maxi Hughes, but what do you think of Lee Wood as a fighter and the potential threats? Josh questioned if the run he's been on is even that strong. What's your take on that?
To be honest, I think to a degree I've got to agree with him to a point. But then again, in Lee's defence, you can only fight whoever's in front of you. You deal with whoever's playing in front of you, and if you do that, you deserve to be there. So I understand what Josh is saying. I mean, the win over Kanzo, when Kanzo had done three camps to fight us, we'd done three camps to fight Kanzo. All of a sudden, them fights are falling off at drop of an hat, 2 and 3 weeks out. There were not left in our tank. There were not left in Kanzo's tank. So what you got? Well, Maurizio Lara getting lucky and Lee Wood getting lucky. But I still think the best Josh Warrington beats the best Lee Wood.
For you, Sean, is this must-win for Josh? I know defeat won't be something that's even coming remotely into your heads, but is this a must-win fight for you, not as a father, but as a trainer as well?
Well, I think every fight at this stage is a must-win fight, and I think it's certainly a must-win fight for Lee and for Josh, really. I think any time a situation like this arises, everybody gets asked that same question. I mean, it was said of Joe Joyce, wasn't it, you know, before he stepped back in the ring. It's a must-win fight, it's career-defining. you can say any fight is a career-defining fight, and to an extent, every fight is career-defining, because it's only on your last performance determines where you're going to go. But to answer your question, it could have been a yes or no, and I've spun it out. I think it is career-defining fights.
And in terms of that atmosphere, sure.
For both of them.
I totally agree. Just finally, though, that atmosphere. I mean, it looks like it's going to be split down the middle. It's not in Leeds or Nottingham, but we've got travelling support coming in. You've been involved in some massive fights in the corner, like you said, about the Selby fight at Elland Road, the Frampton fight at Manchester Arena. Why do you think this atmosphere in particular is going to be a special one?
I think what it is, everyone thinks it's because it's Leeds and Nottingham, but there's no massive rivalry in Nottingham and Leeds. I mean, might be a little bit with football, Bob, yeah, but them Leeds lot, they love an away day wherever it is, whoever it is. They just love it, you know what I mean? So they like travelling, they like a weekend away, they like a night out, but they like a good fight and all. So hopefully that's the only fight that there'll be is inside that thing, you know. But I think it will be special atmosphere. Every time we box is special atmosphere. Whether it's been Arena, whether it's been Elland Road, whether it's been Edinley, it's always special. They always turn out, and I'm sure they will do again.
What do you and Josh tend to do when you celebrate a big win? The ideal Sunday morning, what does that look like for you two?
Well, it's just every Sunday, isn't it? I get up, do my normal thing, go to church, come home, have a bit of Sunday dinner, and then sleep it off in armchair.
I think you'll have earned a good rest after this one, Sean. Thanks so much for your time.
Cheers.
Father, trainer of Josh Warrington, of course. Sean O'Hagan. Sean, top man, thanks very much for speaking to us.
You've
got
to just follow me around wherever.
Should we move on now?
Oh, they want me now?
Sonny Edwards.
They fobbed me off a minute ago.
No, we never.
They said we want a British champ, Dalton Smith, in his home city.
We didn't fob you off. Sonny, great to see you. You're loving this, aren't you?
Loving what?
Being everywhere in a minute. It's great to see you. You're a commentator, you're a fighter, you're promoting one of the biggest fights in the zone schedule on December 16th. Are you not tired? Are you full of energy?
Oh no, I'm just getting started. You know, what we're going to do is we're going to do a little branch out from Matchroom, and it's going to be like a SmackDown vs Raw type setting. And I'm going to be the, you know, we're going to be like the dark side, you know what I mean? And that's how we've got, me and Eddie have already planned it all out. It's like Matchroom 2, a better name coming.
Okay. How are you enjoying working with Mr. Hearn at the moment?
Yeah, fantastic, you know. I feel like what is really easy for me and Eddie to get on is we both want the same things. The biggest fights now. And it's probably, you know, what a lot of fighters get a bit scared of about Matchroom these days right now is that you're getting put into proper fights. And I completely agree with it. I feel like the way that the business is set up, the way that boxing is set up, so many different broadcasts, so many different platforms, it's about who's putting on the best fights, the best shows and the best action. Done in the days of giving someone 10 to 15 rollover fight jobs, like no one wants to see that. You're ruining, you're killing the sport, in my opinion. If fighters aren't ready for real fights, big fights, their level ready test to go in, and the winner goes on, the loser comes again and gets some work on the back of it, and maybe fights a loser on the other side of the card at the same weight, etc. Until that's the narrative, we're going to completely start killing ourselves by keep giving these prospects ridiculous purses to fight minimum versus anyone, and then when they want to have a slight step up, they're demanding more money, so the fights don't happen. They know they can get in the ring for XYZ money against anyone, so they will literally wait until anyone comes walking through the door. It's ruining the dynamic of the sport for me, and I feel like I would like to see going forward, no, next 12, 18, 24 months, that you take proper fights, you get rewarded. Win, lose or draw, you come through and you come back again. I feel like that's how you'll whittle out the proper fighters from the proper pretenders, the ones that only want Instagram followers and undefeated records so they can walk around their local city like the man in their local bars and pubs. We want to find a proper fighting talent that really want to change their life through the boxing ring. We're putting on events to entertain, not to build up a prospect over and over and over and over again and kid how good he is. Let's find out who the best are by putting them through the grinder like the Mexicans do. The Mexicans get to world level with 2, 3, 4 losses on their record. Don't make them any less of a fighter by the time they get there. I think we just got to start changing the narrative from inside the business. Stop offering these contracts for 3, 4 years of easy fights to prospects and their trainers. Easy work, easy graft. Change the narrative. Reward the fighters that will take fighters. And like this, 50-50, up and down the card. And that's how you'll see the venues start getting filled up. And that's how you'll see champions get celebrated. Because even the ones that don't win will get champion just for taking the fight. Proper fights, the pretenders leave off or clear off, get out of contract and disappear. If they want easy fights, go on the small halls, go get those easy fights, build up your record that way, leave the TVs well alone, because otherwise you're ruining our sport.
We're talking about 50-50 fights. Look no further, then we can see the big posters hanging from the roof here. Lee Wood, Josh Warrington, WBA World Featherweight Championship. Opinion been very much divided. We've been walking around this room today. Some people are saying Lee stoppage, some people are saying Warrington stoppage. It appears though that from all corners, it's by stoppage. Do you see this fight going 12 rounds? And if not, why not?
I'll be right, I kind of fancied the points. Yeah, maybe Lee's and levers and sharp shooting punch style can definitely hurt and start breaking up Wood because of how he approaches getting close to a fight and trying to break you down. But at the same time, Warrington is not the easiest man in the world to hit. He comes low a lot. He moves out of the way a lot. He finds himself just getting out of the way and just getting close enough to make it a bit of a wrestling and punches are coming over. So I think how they actually match up will be interesting to see. You know, we'll see that when they get in the ring, but I'm really looking forward to it. I feel like it depends who dictates the pace and the range of the fight is who dictates the actual fight. Just like every fight really, but for this one probably more than many, because if Lee, you know, establishes range in his levers and manages to land clean singles and combos from range, then I think it's going to be a very hard night for Warrington. But if when he's letting his shots go, Warrington manages to close him down, get on his chest and find a way to really make it messy for him, then all of a sudden it's a whole different fight. And you know, elbows, cuts, punches, we've talked about it all the way in the build up and we know how both fighters fight. And I feel like the upright approach from Lee Wood and punching down against the smaller man in Josh Warrington, who also likes to make it more aggressive, it might clash really interestingly. I'll be right, I'm looking forward to it.
Just finally, you break down fights amazingly well. You're back on the airwaves again. You've had the call up again for the commentary. Every time I see you on social media after you're on the mic, Sonny, everyone's just raving about you. You love fighting, but how much do you love that side of the sport as well?
Do you know what? I'll be real. I love commentating. It's like my best. You get the best seat in the house. You're right there. You get action replays. You're in the conversation with the commentators. You know what I mean? It's like watching it, but from a whole different perspective. And I don't know, I feel like one thing I'm good at doing is looking at a fight and seeing what I see. I'm also good at taking away my personal emotion to the fighters. And doing it in a way where I'm trying not to be disrespectful or slagging anyone off, as well as giving a little bit of,
constructive criticism.
Yeah,
right?
And personality into it. No one wants to get bored.
Bit of a twist.
And I enjoy
Sonny
it.
Edwards
so
twist.
If I find it funny, I'll say it. You know what I mean? And I'll be real, it's going down well so far. So, you know, long may it continue. Hopefully I keep getting the job. Because if anything, right now, I'll be real, it's just helping build my profile for my own fights. That's another reason why I like being so forefront in it. I mean, you know, people would get onto my storyline just seeing me on the punditry or commentating a fight and liking what I say. And then, oh, hold on, he's still an active fighter. Yada, yada, yada. Before you know it, some more Showtime mates. Nah, that was terrible, that, wasn't it?
I wonder where you were going with that one.
Yeah,
I didn't want to interrupt.
Nah, just some more like supporters maybe. Who knows? Or maybe some non-supporters. Haters, I guess. I don't know. But either way, they'll be listening. They'll be watching. They'll see me popping up. I might win the 5K again. You know what I mean? I can do everything. I can do everything, James.
Well, you can't deny he certainly is entertaining inside and outside the ring. IBF World Flyweight Champion Sonny Edwards. Sonny, thanks for your time. Sonny back on the airwaves this Saturday night on The Zone. He likes to beatbox. We're not letting him do that again. He can do everything apart from beatbox. Sonny, thanks so much for your time. We're just going to head backstage as Terry Harper has just been announced into the ring for her media workout slot. Young Junaid Bostan is here in the corridor, as is the main man, the man of the hour, the man himself, Mr. Lee Wood. Lee, when you think about the story, I was just talking to your old mate, Jordan Gill, about the journey you guys have had, about lying in a damp house and waking up with wet backs because of the water coming in. Seeing your face up in the brightest of lights right now, you've got the posters hanging there, all these people turning up for you as well. How proud are you of yourself, of the journey you've been on? Because times were difficult for you at times in this sport.
Yeah, I've come a long way. It's been very difficult, the road to get here. I'm proud of my results. But all this, the pictures and the lights and the cameras, you know, it's all a bit of a... It's like pixie dust, it's not real. But no, you take it with a pinch of salt. And Brennan used to say to me when I was younger, ironically from this city, you know, but nice to everyone on your way up because you pass them on your way down. And that's something that always stayed in my mind. But I've come a long way, but I've still got a long way to go.
I saw a fantastic picture. I believe you went to visit Brendan Ingle's grave. Was that this week?
It just a memorial. So that memorial, he actually saw it when he was alive. And he said to me, oh, look, you know, when I'm gone kind of thing, like people will be coming to these little things. So we got them made by a friend of his, the stonemason, the gloves and the the little message on the floor which says, if you don't get an education, somebody else will always control your life. It's a true statement.
As a man, how much did the great Brendan Ingle teach Lee Wood, and how much strength does he still give you today? What are you able to take into your life and certainly into the ring, messages passed on from the great Brendan Ingle?
Yeah, I think Brendan, the most important thing Brendan taught me was life values, treating people kind, giving people time. They're the biggest things that he taught me over the years. And then obviously once I teamed up with Ben, the boxing side of things was important. He's helped me excel and get where I am today.
I think, Lee, one of the biggest messages you'll always say to the young fighters is, look, your career goes so fast, try and take the time to enjoy it when you can. For you, you've had a smile on your face since you arrived here. Considering this is a big, big fight, you and Josh Warrington, everyone's so excited for it. What's helping you keep so relaxed and remind yourself to enjoy this moment as well?
I think that's how I am. You know, I'm cool, calm, collected. But yeah, it's true, you need to stop sometimes and have a look around and remind yourself who you are and how you got here. That's important, you do that from time to time. But that's not me. I'm just cool, calm, collected. I'm focused on Saturday night. I know what I need to do. Anything else around that, anything Josh can say to try and rattle me, to try and rile me, I see it as a sign of unconfidence, because he's trying something his best to rattle me. He needs that. I don't need that.
He said, you've heard it before, you say it's outside noise, but he said he can only see himself standing over you and parading the belt around the ring. For yourself, if you're both thinking you're going to win this fight by knockout, because I know you believe if you set things up correctly, you will stop Josh Warrington on Saturday. I guess for the fans who are listening to this podcast and going to be watching on DAZN on Saturday night, they should probably buckle up for this one, right?
Yeah, it has all the ingredients to make a great fight on paper. But in my eyes, you know, it's going to be a dominant win, a dominant performance. And yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but if he thinks it's going to be a back and forth war, he's got another thing coming.
I guess the dream scenario: win this fight, celebrate your moment with your family, your kids, with your city of Nottingham, and then lock in a mega fight at your beloved city ground. How difficult has it been for you to push that out of your mind, or is it in your mind? Is it motivating you? What's the aspect on that for the Forest fans?
Yeah, I break it down into smaller goals. First things first, Saturday night, you know, I need to go out and perform, and I want a dominant performance. I don't just want to scrape through a win. I want a dominant performance.
Why is that, Lee? Why is that?
Because I want to prove that I'm a better fighter. You know, this is like a British rivalry. There's a lot of people, a lot of things to say. And I wanted this for so long. I wanted to prove that I'm the better fighter for so long. So I want it to be done. I don't want to be screamed through. And then, you know, City Ground's here. Can't think about it too much yet. But it's little goals by little goals. First things first is make weight, which is never easy. And then beat Josh Warrington this hour Saturday night. And then onto the City Ground.
This is your third fight this year, making £126. Has that helped? Has it made it harder? I guess it's not allowed a chance for your weight to go too upwards of the £126 limit, not like it normally does.
Yeah, I mean, activity helps for fight night. Making weight, you still got to make it. You still got to make the weight. It's never easy. I'm big for the weight. But yeah, look, I think after this fight, all being well, like I said, dominant performance, I'm going to have a little break. It's been an intense year. Fight after fight, it seemed like. But you know, I've got a lot in the tank for this fight. I've been up for it. I've absolutely smashed PBs in the gym. I'm hungry, but I do need a break after this fight.
Where is the break? Ibiza? Are you interested in that side of partying, or is it more Maldives? Where does Lee Wood like to go?
I'm going to take the kids away, I think, towards New Year.
Brilliant. Great
Thank
stuff.
Thank you. Cheers.
Lee Wood, a father, a fighter, a champion as well. Thanks so much for your time, Lee. We'll catch up with you later on in the week. Absolutely no doubt whatsoever. There's a few familiar faces, and here is one right in front of me right now. We'll grab a quick word with Pat McCormack. Pat, if you hold the mic, this is the new Matchroom podcast on the ground. We just walk around and we grab absolutely everyone we can find. Pat, how are you, first of all?
I'm good. Training camp's going well. Getting everything right and ready to put on a show next time I'm out.
I feel like we're on the verge of some big news for yourself as well, without giving too much away, because we can't leak the announcement, but a big fight coming up and a big opportunity for you as well.
Yeah, big fight coming up. This is what I need, and I'm ready to take the shine and put on a good performance.
Your stable mate Lee Wood, one of the most and Terry Harper's just getting a round of applause in the ring there. Lee Wood's one of the most humble men in the sport, Pat. for you, albeit you've achieved so much, Olympic silver medalist, achieved so much as an amateur, at the early stages of your professional journey, knowing what Lee's experienced as a pro, how useful has he been as a friend and as a mentor type figure in the gym to you at this stage?
Yeah, Lee's an unbelievable person. Obviously, come up the hard way through the small hall shows and took a couple of losses on the way, but now he's reached reached the pinnacle, world champion. And he's putting on some big nights in Nottingham, and there's going to be a big night in Sheffield on Saturday night, and I'm looking forward to watching it.
In terms of this fight with Josh Warrington, I know you're a big boxing fan.
Yeah.
You've been around the sport your whole life. Josh Warrington, I'm sure, someone you've watched for many years. But why does Lee Wood, in your opinion, Pat, why does he beat Josh Warrington on Saturday?
I just think he's a better fighter. He sticks to the game plan, do everything right, and he'll come away with a victory.
I just got to ask you, because I know it was a difficult night for you Burtley boys. I know you're all still really close. A tough night for Cyrus Pattinson last time out. How difficult was that for you guys to watch, and how much is it important now that Cyrus goes away, works with the guys, and comes back stronger, I guess?
Yeah, I think he's got the game plan wrong. He needs to go back, regroup, get a few things right. I think he needs to get a couple of wins under his belt and then rematch the kid. But yeah, I think Cyrus, he'll come back. He's a dedicated kid, and I think he'll come back and do him.
Great stuff. Pat McCormack, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks a lot, mate. Thank you.
Always a pleasure to catch up. Olympic silver medalist making his way as a professional. And we've got the two trainers of the main event stood next to each other right now. We've just had a word with Sean, but we can bring him back in.
This is
brilliant. Two for one, buy one, get one free. We've got Sean O'Hagan and Ben Davison here. Ben, Sean, the fact you're standing here, very amicable, all smiles, what does that say about the nature of this fight?
Yeah, like I said before, these two lads, like, they're the type of characters that you want lads coming through, grassroots, to look up and aspire to be like. They're true fighters. They do their talking in the ring. We see all these people that do all the talking before they get in there, and when they get in there, they don't produce the goods. These two lads, they might not be as outspoken as you see some others, but when they get in there, they give more than their money's worth. And that's what it's about at the end of the day. And we respect that they're good people, and hopefully that's the same vice versa. It's just business. And when they get in there, I know that Josh, every single time, you know, he's a tenacious dog, and we know that nothing's going to be any different this Saturday.
Sure, we know there's always a mutual respect between fighters. In what way is that the same with trainers as well? How familiar are you with the work of Ben Davison?
I think quite familiar, seeing as he's on TV every week, and every time he turns telly on, there's Ben Davison somewhere. And he did all that night, good film, didn't he? That Dirty Dancing, he was good in that.
Patrick Swayze.
I'm sure he hadn't heard that before. To be honest with you, I think echoing what Ben's just said there, really. Two lads, they both know the game. Both myself and Ben and his team, we're all experienced. There's no need for all that shite, is there, all that shite talking? We know we've got a job to do. It's much easier if you get along and you do it. I mean, you know, we've worked together a little bit in the past. Maybe we'll work again together in the future, you know. So it's just easier, isn't it? It's business, that's all. I think it's a job. We've got a job to do, and that's it.
Ben, I was speaking to Sean about the comments that people were throwing out about Josh Warrington not being the same fighter, was a great fighter on the slide. It's always seemed in the whole build-up to this fight that you've been preparing for the best version of Josh Warrington, which Sean tells you you're going to get, by the way.
Yeah, like, I would love for him to be shot. I would love for Josh to be past it. I know that's not the case. I just think people, they look at results and don't look at... I think it was Josh finished really strong against Lopez. He come off of a broken jaw against Kiko. Naturally, there's going to be a little bit at the start of the fight, and I think that might have cost him in that fight. But to just look and have the... I don't see it personally, and I think that I can see in the build-up he's got this bit between his teeth. He's a motivated guy. He doesn't like this having to be the B-side situation. He wants to be on the other side of the poster. He wants his name to be first. That's the type of character he is. And unfortunately, I wish it wasn't the case, but I do. I just think it's absolute nonsense, this Josh Warrington, his past it talk. And I know, as every single time he does, I know he's always going to bring 100%.
This might be a difficult question for you to answer right now, Ben, because Sean O'Hagan is stood in front of you. He's the father and trainer of Josh Warrington. But how much confidence do you have in your man that he wins this fight? Lee just told me there he wants to not just win, dominate. He wants to dominate Josh Warrington on Saturday night.
That's got to be Lee's goal. Very confident, of course. I think it depends on how Josh approaches the fight and how Lee's going to win. I don't think Josh is a completely one-dimensional type guy, but he is the type of guy that thrives off of the crowd. I can see him you know, he's going to want to get hands on Lee. He's going to want to let his hands go, and that might leave opportunities for Lee to meet him on the way in. But he's also a better boxer than what people give him credit for. So, you know, it's hard to pinpoint exactly how the fight's going to go. But like I said, I always know that he's going to bring 100%.
Sean, just finally, before we let you two go, do you want to tell Ben your game plan for Saturday?
No, I normally leave that up to you guys. Let it. What they normally do is they film it and then they put all my instruction up night before weighing.
I don't know where he's got that from.
He'll already have it.
No comment.
He'll already have it if you're going to be in my gym.
There's no spoilers in our camp, I assure you.
Two
gentlemen, two great trainers as well. Can't wait for this main event. Like I just said at the start, speaks volumes of the nature of this fight. All business though, when the bell rings. Sean O'Hagan, Ben Davison, thanks so much for talking to us. As we move once again around the room, Coogan Cassius just interviewing Frank Smith on camera there for IFL TV, of course. We walk back past Jordan Gill. Just fist bumped Andrew there, who is the strength and conditioning coach of Josh Warrington, been doing a lot of work at the University of Leeds. And when you're talking about someone like, I was just saying about fighters being on the slide, Josh Warrington's on the slide. Those have been the comments that have been coming the way of Josh Warrington from various people on social media. Andrew, who does his strength and conditioning work, believe me, I saw Josh's session. He talked me through the numbers, and if anything, the numbers are improving. We are actually having a little walk around here, and here is another man, Josh Warrington. Is it me you're looking for? Yes, it is.
Yeah, hello.
Josh, this is the Matchroom podcast.
Hello.
Sort of F1 style. We just walk around and grab absolutely everyone we can. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to head out into the main room here. How you doing, mate? You seem in terrific spirits, which is good to see.
Well, I've had a nice bit of salmon, some new potatoes and garden peas, and I'm absolutely buzzing off that now, yeah.
We just did a great interview with your dad, who I accidentally said was father of Lee Wood. That was a bit of a blunder, but we'll have to edit that bit out. But and Ben Davison, so respectful.
Yeah.
It's very much business when the bell rings on Saturday, but what does that say, Josh, about the nature of this build-up between the two of you?
Well, it's not them two fighting, is it?
Very true, also.
It's not them two fighting, no, but yeah, it's good respect. And listen, that's all it's been throughout. You know, I think there's been one or two things said in interviews and that, but it's the boxing what's going to do the talking. And that's how it wants to be. That's how it should be.
I spoke to Lee, and as you can imagine, he said he doesn't just want to beat you, he must dominate this fight. He said a lot has been said. He's so adamant to prove that he's the better fighter. Yeah. As much as it's a world title fight, it's a domestic rivalry. For you, Josh, we said this earlier as well, a win doesn't quite seem just good enough for you in this fight. I believe that there's certain spite coming from yourself as well heading into this one.
As always, it's win at all costs. But I just believe that the way that I'm going to win, the way that I fight, well, it can't help being destructive. You know, he keeps on the way that he's talking. Bloody hell, we're gonna have a fucking right barnstorm that way. The way that he's talking, it's gonna be, you know, toe ding dong. But we'll see.
Well, we can't wait, Josh. We're getting hurried on here. I believe you're just about to enter the ring for your media workout, so we'll let you crack on now.
Thank you very much.
Get the gloves on, Josh Warrington, challenging to become a three-time world featherweight champion on Saturday night. That was on the ground. I tell you what, very intriguing experience, apart from the one blunder of me calling Sean O'Hagan father of Lee Woods.
That probably went far too smoothly, Jamie.
I think it would. I mean, that's the first time I've ever done that, and I really enjoyed that. There's Bazza Smith, big part of Team Wood. Let's grab a quick word with him. Here he is. Barry Smith. If you watched the build-up documentary between Lee Wood and Josh Warrington, this man, you would have seen him. We had a little walk down the river, and he said, if Josh sticks the head in, you stick it back, Lee. Barry, how's the mindset heading into fight week? How confident are you guys?
More confident than ever. Fancy the job. Big time.
I'll tell you what's been interesting is, I was just saying, the build-up between the trainers has been great.
Yeah.
Amicable, very respectful. The build-up between the fighters for the launch press conference was very respectful. As you'd imagine, have you noticed that things have started to turn? The dial between Josh and Lee just starting to turn a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a great night, you know. It's good. The build-up to it, we're all here. It's going to be a fantastic night. But there's only one winner. That's Mr. Lee Wood.
And I guess after the fight, when all is said and done, we hope both fighters are healthy and
that's
well.
That's the most important thing.
Absolutely. And we have a little beer afterwards to celebrate. It's that type of fight.
As long as Big Sean's paying for it, I don't care. I'll be there.
Barry Smith, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Barry Smith, big part of the Lee Wood corner on Saturday night. But yeah, I was just saying to my colleague Scott Hamilton, that was on the ground, trialing something a little bit different, trying to immerse you in the atmosphere, the environment of these Fight Week events. You just get the feeling that the atmosphere is building very nicely for this one, as MC Ben just announcing Josh Warrington into the ring now. The public workout very nearly at its end. All the Fight Week build-up continues, of course, with the press conference tomorrow, streamed live on Matchroom Socials before the weigh-in, as usual, on Friday at 1 p.m. Both of those events at 1 p.m, the press conference and the weigh-in before the live broadcast begins, 7 p.m. Only one place to watch it, The Zone. The main event around 10 p.m. So many fights to look forward to on that card, but of course topped by the WBA World Featherweight Championship contest between Lee Wood and Josh Warrington. A fight of respect, a fight where that dial is just starting to turn that little bit further as the anticipation continues, and a fight where both men only see themselves winning by a knockout. Could be a barnstormer. I think we need to buckle up for this one. Do not miss it live on The Zone this Saturday night.